Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Koto et al. Titled, Exercise Training Induces ENOS Coupling and Restores Relaxation in Coronary Arteries of Heart Failure Rats. This article was published April 9th, 2018. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanegi, Lead Author Luciana Venturini-Rossoni, and Content Expert Shane Phillips. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. This study from the laboratory of Dr. Luciana Rossoni investigated a potential mechanism for the beneficial effects of exercise on coronary artery function in rats that have heart failure. The study found that heart failure led to an apparent ENOS uncoupling through an oxidative stress mechanism, and that aerobic exercise was able to reverse this effect and to restore coronary artery dilatory function, primarily through increased synthesis of tetrahydrobiopterin, an essential ENOS cofactor. Importantly, even though exercise has been known to be of benefit for vascular health, this is the first study to show that moderate exercise reverses some of the detrimental effects of heart failure, providing a potential therapeutic benefit of exercise, even in patients with heart failure. This takes us to the paper. Luciana, could you begin our discussion by addressing an observation that I'm not sure I understand? The observation is that training increased exercise capacity, but did not affect hemodynamic, morphometric, and functional cardiac parameters in the heart failure rats. Why do you think ventricular function was not improved if coronary flow was enhanced following exercise?
Nancy, first of all, thank you for this invitation. It's a pleasure for the authors to discuss our paper. And in our hands, exercise training did not change hemodynamic and morphometric parameters in heart failure rats. We know that anesthetic status can influence the hemodynamic parameters. I believe that if hemodynamic experiments were done with awake animals submitted to exercise testing protocol in treadmill, we will observe changes in blood pressure and ventricular hemodynamic parameters between untrained and trained heart failure rats. On the other hand, our research group has been demonstrated the importance of exercise training, improving exercise tolerance by changes in skeletal myopathy present in heart failure, animals and patients, improving neurovascular control of calcium handling, capillary density, the imbalance between proteolysis and protein synthesis, and reducing pro-inflammatory cytokines in skeletal muscle, training is able to improve maximal exercise capacity without necessarily changing peripheral hemodynamic parameters.
One of the changes that you observed that contributed to the improved coronary function was increased tetrahydrobiopterin synthesis. Do you think that you would see an additive effect of exercise and biopterin supplementation in these animals?
Really, I don't believe that we will observe any additive effect of exercise training with biopterin supplementation in these animals, based on the fact that tetrahydrobiopterin synthesis by GTP cyclohydrolase 1 is subject to feedback inhibition by BH4 via a mechanism that requires regulatory protein known as GTPCH feedback regulatory proteins. In addition, the literature has shown that more than absolute concentration of BH4, the intracellular ratio between BH4 and dehydrobiopterin BH2 is the key factor for ENOS coupling or uncoupling. And in this sense, the discordance between ENOS protein and BH4 levels alone is sufficient to cause ENOS uncoupling, and that ENOS uncoupling is sufficient to deplete BH4 for oxidation. And in this scenario, GTP cyclohydrolase 1 is a key enzyme and the first rate limiting step in the de novo biosynthesis of tetrahydrobiopterin. Taken together, the results reinforce that exercise training is a non-pharmacological therapy to increase the GTP cyclohydrolase 1 protein, improving inner coupling and nitric oxide bioavailability. Without influences of external biopterin supplementation.
That certainly addresses the point. Shane, I wonder if you could comment a bit on this. I know you have had many studies looking at improvement in cardiovascular health, primarily in the microvasculature. Have you looked at the tetrahydrobiopterin system yourself in exercising in healthy individuals?
That's a very good question. And we have studied the role of ENOS uncoupling in the microcirculation in the periphery and have done some preliminary work in this area. And there's been some other publications looking at the impact of exercise training on improving vascular function through ENOS recoupling. So these studies in this article are very interesting because of the focus specifically on the coronary circulation. And the implications are important for cardiac rehabilitation, as mentioned in the article, but also in improving vascular function on a broad scale.
So Luciana or Shane, maybe both of you could comment on this a little bit. This was specifically looking at endurance training. Are other types of exercises such as resistance training equally efficacious at both this function of restoring NO coupling or NOS coupling, as well as the rehabilitatory effect on cardiac function?
Nancy, our group don't have expertise in resistance exercise in heart failure models. But the literature has shown that resistance training could improve nitric oxide bioavailability in diabetic models.
It's true that resistance training does have an improving effect on protecting the microcirculation in the periphery. We found in sedentary adults who are obese, and other published data has found that resistance training, aerobic training, and combinations of aerobic and resistance training can all improve peripheral vascular endothelial function in large blood vessels. What's not been tested is the comparative effect of resistance training versus aerobic training and combinations of resistance and aerobic training in the coronary circulation with heart failure per se. So it's an interesting question, and this study helps us to get closer to really understanding what is going on specifically with exercise training in cardiovascular disease in this animal model. I would also say that there are some interesting studies that need to be addressed looking at both inspiratory muscle training as well as high-intensity interval training, which could be part of a cardiac rehabilitation program and could differentially impact endothelial function and the circulation.
This is obviously one more demonstration of how exercise is beneficial for almost everyone. And can you talk a little bit, either Shane or Luciana, about what are the effects of exercises or what are the components of exercise that are leading to this improved endothelial function? Is it all flow? Is it oxygen delivery? Is it something else? What is the mechanistic stimulus for leading to this improved vasodilatory and vascular function?
This is an interesting question, Nancy. Properly, we don't know the pathways, but changes in flow and pressure induced the stretch in the arteries during the exercise section are important hemodynamic factors that could induce ENOS protein and activity change, as well as modulate the ratio between oxidant and oxidant state.
Shane, would you like to add anything to that?
This effect of exercise is multifactorial in terms of the mechanisms for change and benefit. I would only add that probably a major source in our eyes for the changes in vascular function are likely to be related to changes in shear stress over time, and that there may be, whether it's sympathetics or somehow an autonomic remodeling of the blood vessel wall, there may be changes in the neural humoral mechanisms that elicit a change in the molecular mechanisms observed in this study. It's really an open question, but shear stress and autonomic regulation are probably likely upstream mechanisms for the control of the mechanisms of vasodilator function in this case.
So, Luciana, in looking ahead, what are your next steps for this project?
In the present study, we use animals that has coronary dysfunction and study the potential role of exercise to restore it. But we will continue to study if we start the training before that these animals present heart failure, if we can prevent the onset of heart failure. Imagine that training could be started early in this process to prevent coronary function.
Those sound like very interesting studies. Shane, are there any points that you would like to bring up to discuss with Luciana?
I'd like to just reemphasize that last point. I think that's a great direction for this line of research because of the idea that exercise is a preventative modality in cardiovascular disease, and understanding whether and by how much exercise training can be preventative in the long-term consequences of a cardiovascular event, it would be tremendously important for our understanding of guidelines and prescription of exercise training. So I would just end with that point.
So exercise seems to be in the news almost every day. And now we have one more group that can benefit from this apparent elixir of youth, those with heart failure. The improvement in coronary perfusion was really remarkable and reminds us that regular exercise is something that can be advantageous for almost any individual, even those facing serious health challenges. Thank you both for being part of this stimulating discussion and for the excellent work in this study. I look forward to hearing updates on this research in the future. And in the meantime, remember, exercise your body as well as your brain for optimal health. Thank you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.